Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Kingdom Justice, and this is your host Courtney Jones speaking. And today we're back, and we're back this Sunday morning. Yesterday we was going over God is your helper, and I think this is a very important lesson. This is a lesson that God has put on my heart, and you know, I really think we need to understand this in depth. I really think that we need to really get this in. I know we hear a lot of people out there with different, you know, things they're saying. And, you know, we hear this all over the place. People are saying, you know, they're using it for prosperity purposes. And, you know, with anything with God, notice if you're growing, you're going to prosper. But we always want to make sure that, you know what, you're on the right road. And you understand that you are the temple of God. And with the temple of God, I mean, you are the church. Okay, we got to get this. We really got to get this in us. One of the biggest revelations anyone can tell you, one of the biggest things they can tell you is that, you know what, Christ is in you. God's in you. And that temple that he wants to build is in you. The new man is in you. And, you know, we was talking yesterday, going over a couple things about how Abraham was in the wrong place. He thought he was in the right place, but he was in the wrong place. He thought he was doing what he thought God wanted him to do. He didn't perceive it the way he needed to. And also, it was also what he was willing to do. You know, sometimes when God wants us to do something, it's about not just our interpretation, it's about what we're willing to do. Sometimes we're not willing. Like I used the analogy yesterday, I think. Say, for instance, God wants you to go to New Jersey. But you say, no, I want to go to Florida, right? Well, you start saying, well, I want to go to Florida. I want to go to New Jersey. Better for me in Florida. So what ended up happening, all of a sudden, now you need God to change his mind and make you go to Florida. So what do people normally do? See, and all of a sudden they start to create a new God. All of a sudden they start hearing, you know what? I'm going to go to Florida. You know what? I can just preach to more people. I can do more of this. I can do more of that in Florida. And then they try to give more sacrifices, they believe. They're trying to do more, trying to do this. Let me give more money. Let me give more arms. Let me try to do this. And really, all God asked them to do, he didn't ask them to do all that. But they try to do that to cover up things. But truth is, he told them, no, he wants them to go to New Jersey. So this is what I'm saying. Sometimes God wants people to go to a certain job or not even that. They may want them to go to move to a certain neighborhood, a certain place. People, you know, it's about what they're willing to do, what they don't want to do. And when they don't, they'll start hearing something that sounds like God, and this thing will form into an idol, and that idol will be built there, and it won't move. And now you created something, you gave life to something that is not of God. And this is what we was talking about, how Abraham himself had did this, and this is why he created Ishmael. Because God wanted the new man, which Isaac represented the new man, the new seed, the new man. He wanted that to be that was what God was promising. That's what God wanted to come through. But notice Abraham had his own ideals. You see, he had the way he wanted it to be. So what he ended up doing was he took Ishmael, a child that was mixed of the flesh and the soul, because that's what Hagar is. She's the flesh, and Abraham is dealing with the flesh and the soul and going to Sarah, all this mixed together. And that's what you have. And that's what people use to build their worlds up on. You know, you build your world built on the flesh, logic, and also on what you feel. So people tune to do that. Even if a man who's strictly logic and deal with logic and things of that nature, simple-minded, and he has a wife who's going on soul and feel, together they join unions, they create a kingdom of flesh and soul. And their household, believe me, is running on both of those, logic and soul. So it's the same thing. That's why we've seen a lot of declines in marriage nowadays, because it's not that God hated marriage or it was anything of that nature. It's the fact of the matter that a lot of relationships, people got to go from their relationships being, people got to turn from the relationship being sexual and being asexual. And I'm trying to make this quick. Asexual, okay, now you notice in the beginning, in Genesis 1, God created one man, male and female. They had no names. It was male and female. They was all in one. You see, they was as one in one, asexual. Then Genesis 2 talks about now all of a sudden he has a name. His name is Adam. Then you hear the woman named Eve. Now you hear two different names mean two different individuals. You see that now they're sexual. She who she is, he who he is. She has her goals, he has his goals. That's why her goals was to get into something else. And his goals was something else. They was not on one accord. And that's why things went the way they went. And so we have to understand, you know, we have to understand how this works, how this system works. Because as God is our helper, he keep us grounded. He would keep us grounded. He would keep us where we need to be. Like I said, one of the first things usually happen to people when they fall out the garden, one of the biggest things they happen to them when they go out the garden is they lose direction. And we were talking about how Abraham was in the wrong directions. You know, that he was in the wrong direction. He didn't know which way to go. And that's usually what happens. People get, you know, like I said, when you get kicked out the kingdom, that's what happens. You know, you get to yourself out the garden. Like I said, God say do this, you go do something else. Now you outside the garden. Now everything's starting to look like God. You're trying to find God here, trying to find him there. You're trying to create this, and this idol come along. Now it's like being in a swamp, in a forest. It all looked the same. You go one way, you're like, oh, it looked the same with the other place. You go this way, look the same as the other. Now you're all lost. You don't know which direction to go out, and there's only one road, and you can't seem to find it. And this is why religious is like you have a lot of these different religions doing different things, that they all lost, walking around, trying to find which is the right one, what is the right thing. It sounds similar. It looks similar. This sounds really similar. This sounds similar to your religion. It sounds similar to your denomination. It sounds similar, but it's different. I can't find the road because the true road they have, because the truth of what God was really wanting to be their helper, they have put them out. They have rejected them. They rejected him and they rejected the son. They rejected the new man. Now, also, I wanted to say this too, because I want to go into this and I want you to understand this as well. I had a couple of people actually send me some, I would say they send me some, I don't know what you call it. I think they call it like, you know, Google messages. Yeah, emails and messages, I think you would say. They email me. And some of these messages, they was like, it's been a while. Where have you been? And this and that. And, hey, you know, it's, you know, great to hear. And God was doing something so special with you and this and that. And, you know, I just want to say this, is that they have to understand that, you know, I understand what place they're coming from. But I want them to understand that, you know, whatever you think, whatever they think of anybody that they think God is doing something special here with, anointed, whatever, that's the same thing that's in them. You see, that's the same thing that's in them. You don't have to find me. You don't even really have to say you need me. You know, we talked about this yesterday. We're going to go into it more. You know, you have the same spirit in you. And see, when we start clinging on to, we need this person or need this church building, and we need this pastor, we need this bishop, when we start getting caught into these titles and what we need to clinch on with these people, see, that's when we start finding ourselves in the parasites. And so you don't want to be a parasite, because a parasite is one of these people who everybody take advantage of. Beat up, stump, use. And this is why we see a church full of these parasites and hobbites. And in the sense of these parasites, people are who just getting derailed. And it's a low land thinking. Thinking that the lower nature, thinking that they're bottom feeders. And when they see someone doing something here and there and this and that, I want them to understand this, because you don't want to put yourself in that position. You can do the same thing. You can even do more. And you must understand this. And this is a belief in attitude. See, you need to develop this attitude. That's God's in me, and I'm in him. And this is an attitude. He's working on the temple. I'm just letting him, and he's building me up. Attitude. And so, like I said, and that's what we see a lot day and age, as we see a lot of people, they're latching on to people who they believe are something special or anointed or something like this, and they're not letting God teach them. And that's what we was talking about yesterday. When people are doing that, they forgetting that God is your helper. The only reason God is using people at times to do that is because he cannot operate in you the way he wants to, because you are declining him. And so therefore he's not going to give up on you. So therefore he used individuals to speak to you, to tell you, hey, you are the temple. Hey, you are the church, not the church building. You are the church. And you need to get you in order. You need to get your members and you assembled. You see, that's what he's trying to get you to understand. And that's what you have to start seeing. Because that's something that every individual is going to have to do. It's not, oh, because this guy did it, I don't have to do it. Every individual have to do. And we're going to go through a couple of examples here because I want you to see this. Now, first, let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I want you to see this. Excuse me. Now it says, now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was, they said, crumbled about much serving. Or that word also means overwhelmed. About much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she helps me. Bid also mean speak to her, command her. So notice what's going on here is Martha is saying pretty much what a lot of individuals are saying. They're saying, I can't do this on my own. There's a lot of servants need to be done. I can't do this on my own. So take Mary, my sister next to me, like take her, tell her to help me. Okay, let's go to the next verse. And it says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what part did Mary choose? Mary chose the new man. Mary chose the new man. Mary chose God as my helper, so Mary can move on. Mary don't need Martha. Martha needs Mary. And Jesus is going to take care of the situation. Now, I'm going to show you how. But Jesus is definitely going to take care of the situation. Now, this is the thing about the Gospels. When you're looking at Luke, you know, Luke come before John. But we're looking at Luke. When you're looking at, these scriptures, and we're saying, why is it four Gospels? Because each of them are connected. They're all connected, and then it goes even to the older scriptures on the way up. They're all connected. So they're all connected. And that's what the prettiest thing about this. And so sometimes you get people throwing dirt because they don't understand why these scriptures are connected. So let's go to see how did Jesus deal with this situation. He did. Let me show you how. Let's go to John chapter 11, verse 25. Verse 21. Verse 21. So there's John 11, verse 21. And remember, John comes after Luke. So remember that story came first, then this one. So you're going to see how Jesus dealt with this. And it says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Now, I'm looking at King James Bible. Now, notice how I want you to see. Now, you see how Martha is dealing with this parasite. this low level spirit. She keep needing someone. Notice how she said to Jesus, "Jesus, Lord, if you was here, my brother wouldn't have been dead." Now you see how she looking at Jesus on the outside. She's looking at Jesus in the physical and the outside that, hey, if you physically was here, you could have saved her. And then Jesus, with your faith, no, my faith ain't nothing, but with yours, anything you ask God, it would be done. Now, people will say, oh, that's what Jesus wanted to hear because that's what Jesus wanted to represent. That is not what Jesus wanted to hear. Jesus don't want her to just believe that and don't believe that he is in her. Because in that case, every time something happens now, and this is wrong with the parasite type people, every time something happens, they're going to need to find someone to pray. You see, now all of a sudden, where's Jesus? I need Jesus to come. Notice, Jesus is in her, right? The kingdom is in her, but she don't see it. She see, I need the physical Jesus. I need Jesus, the outer Jesus appearance. I need Jesus in the flesh to pop up here. And then I know everything will be all right. Just like people, they need to go to the pastor. They need to go to some other members. They need to go do this because we need to go to that church building because things are happening bad. I need to go to the church building because I need, notice my faith, notice no church in me. I need to go there. See, Martha had this really bad. She had this really bad, and so she clinged on to people. Notice first it was Mary. Mary need to help me. Now it's Jesus. If you was here, this wouldn't happen. But what she don't understand is that if Jesus was inside of her and she understood that, then Jesus didn't physically have to come there. Or nobody had to come there. Because the church, the kingdom of God was already in her. The miracle that she needs is already in her. It's already there. So she told Jesus, whatever you ask, I know that she would do. Now, this is what's interesting. Now, you can read along with this story and study it a little bit more and pray. I pray God take you deeper into it. But we gotta like make some ground today, so we're going to have to go. I'm just going to tell you a little bit more about it just real quickly. We're just going to briefly go through it. Now, we all heard this story. If you haven't heard it, what ended up happening is that Jesus ended up raising up Lazarus. He raised up Lazarus. Well, Lazarus' name means Eleazar. His name actually means Eleazar, the same name as we went over yesterday with Abraham. Servant name, the same thing. And remember, Abraham rejected just that because he was impatient and he wanted an heir. Then he ended up getting Ishmael, and when he got Ishmael, he was fine after 13 years. He wasn't worried about getting the promise, the child of promise. He had the physical child. And we're going to go into that a little bit too later because there's people like that. They more tuned into the physical children that walks around that they make than worry about the new man. And so, as we see, that is what's happening here. So what Lazarus' name means, his name means God is my helper. God helps, the same thing. It's the same meaning. They got the same exact name. So what didn't happen? Well, Lazarus has been sick, see? And he's sick because he's sick because it's not because he's dying, because he's fading. That's like, for instance, when a person read the scripture, they say, I know God's going to help me. And all of a sudden, here come the pressure. Here come the pressure of the world. Here come things. And all of a sudden, that fate is willing. And it's sickening. And a person like, oh, you know what? This is getting hard. I need prayer. Then they run out. What's wrong? Well, God is your helper. Notice he's been sick. That fate is dropping. So he's sick. And that stuff is starting to get to the point where he's dead. But in Martha's situation, with most parasites, their fate is covered. That means that God is their helper. The spirit in them, God is the helper. He's in the tomb. He's asleep. He's deep sleep. He's in a deep sleep, and someone has to wake him up. That's why Jesus said that he wasn't asleep. I mean, he wasn't dead. He was asleep, because that means that the new man in her, the man in her, is he's asleep. And Jesus have to do what? Wake him up. So notice that God is her helper. He sleeps. So what did Jesus do? Jesus woke him up. Jesus told him to rise up and come forth. But notice, Jesus did not roll the stone away. Jesus told them to, because they put the stone on him. So notice he said, no, you roll it away. You unbind him with all the things that you corner things you bind him with. You unbind him. See, you do it. And then Lazarus, remember, he was in, and when that happened, what now? Now she understands. Now she get the interpretation. Now she understand that, oh, now he's my helper. Now she don't need Mary. And she don't need Jesus to be there. That's why Jesus said, if we go to Matthew chapter 8, and Jesus was speaking about the centurion. And the centurion told Jesus, you're not willing. You mean not willing? He said that he was not worthy of him to come to his house. He said, just give me the word. And Jesus said, wow, you know, he was astonished. And he said, he have not seen greater faith in all Israel. Why? Because we went over this. Israel, we went over what Israel actually means. It means people that came out the carnal mind, but they are not in the kingdom. They're just in the wilderness. They came out the carnal mind, and they're at this area of what I call decision. They're in this area where they just stuck there. They're out the carnal mind, but they're not in the kingdom. So they're just like in this, they're in this place, and they're just wondering. So Jesus says, not such great faith in Israel. Now notice, this man didn't need Jesus to physically come. He didn't need someone to physically come. He didn't need to go to a physical church. He didn't need him to physically come. He said, just say the word. And Jesus was astonished because he understood. He understood that, oh, I see, you know. So he knew God was in him. He knew it. I don't need you to physically come. And Jesus said, wow, that's great faith. Greater than all Israel. Why? Because Israel, like we said, they like to see God on the outside, like the lady Martha was of Israel. You know, she was Israel descent. Knows how she wanted to, Jesus here. Okay, now if you're here, you can do it. But she don't see him and her doing it. But she see him doing it. And see, that's why and that comes with God as your helper. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, you know, I'm going away. But don't worry. Why? Because because physically they were seeing him all the time. They were seeing him in the flesh. So they need him. Hey, physically they got dependent. And he said, listen, I'm going to leave and my Father is going to send you a helper, meaning that you're going to discover that God is your helper and you're going to discover that I'm in you and you in me and he's in you because he's in me. And you're going to see how that works. That's why Jesus was saying, I have to go away. He was saying, I have not noticed that he really ain't going away spiritually. He was going away physically. That's what he's saying. I got to go away out of the flesh so you can see me in the spirit inside of you. If I don't go away in the flesh, then you're not going to believe that I'm inside of you and I'm your helper. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see me like that. You're only going to keep seeing me this way. So if I don't go away, if I can't go away of the flesh, then you're not going to see me in the spirit in you. That's why he's saying that. Of course, we know we're going to the story of the crucifixion, but he was saying that for that purpose, okay? Because notice, if he don't go away, then they're not going to see the helper going to come. Why? Because they're going to be dependent on him instead of understanding he's in them. It's the same thing with the churches. You're not going to see God as your helper because you keep on hanging on to that pastor. You keep hanging on to that that bishop. You're hanging on to that pope. You're not going to see it because you keep hanging on to the flesh. And once you say, no, I'm getting away from it, then you're going to see God as your helper. You're going to hear God starting to manifest into you. And you're going to see, hey, wow, God, you and me. And then you're going to see this. But long as you're holding on to that flesh, you're not going to do it. And that's why Jesus was saying that to them, the same thing. Because long as he was right there in the flesh, they would never see him inside in the spirit. They would never see him inside themselves. They wouldn't see it. And they couldn't grow. All they would be is, oh, my God, Jesus, where you at? And they'd be running to that. The same thing people do. They run into the church. Oh, you know, run to the church. Let me go run to this pastor. Let me go run to this evangelist. Let me run this guy. Because they're so dependent on the flesh. And they're not letting the Father build the temple. They're not letting the temple be built inside of them. They don't understand that they're the church, not that building. They are. And as long as they keep going to that building, acting like that is the church and they're not, then they're walking in falsehood. See, they're not doing what God intended for it to happen. The only reason God have man going out that he used to go out and, like I said, to preach these things to people is because those people have shut off the connection. Now, remember, we'll go back to Matthew chapter 8 and the centurion. Notice the guy was a paraplegic. You know, the guy that he was dealing with, this guy was having, notice, when you're personally dealing with that kind of issue this guy was dealing with, he having issues also, like I said, in the spinal area. So connection, his connection, his nerves, his connection, everything is not firing off right. See, he having trouble in his communication. Now, we look at this in the physical. You look at the physical body, we have what you call our skull connected to our spine. Okay, now through our spine is communication going all the way down from the head, all the way through the body. Okay, that's the reason why we have 33 vertebrates. It goes into Jesus being 33. All this goes into the body as well. See, God is on every level, even the body. So the signal is going down to do this, to move that. So the guy need to be healed of this. He need to be able to move. You see, that's why people that was paralyzed, like we said, the parasites are crippled. Why? Because they don't have the connection to God. So they got to run to someone else because they don't have the connection one-on-one with God. Their spines, they're crippled because their spine is messed up. Something's wrong. It's not firing. So Jesus being the head, trying to communicate with them is not working because of their unbelief. So they cut off the signal. They're not moving. He's saying, let's grow. They're saying, no, let's follow. Pick up your cross. No, they're not moving. And when they're doing that, it's just like in the physical. It's cut off. It's not going to work. So what happened when a person like that in the physical? They can't move certain places depending on where their spine cut and broke off, that they're going to be dependent on others. And that's what happened to them. They've been dependent on others, and they're being crippled. And this is why God talked about people that was crippled. That's why we're going to parasites being crippled. There are people that they don't believe that they have that kind of communication with God. They cut it off. They don't believe that he's inside of them. They haven't awoken to that revelation. They haven't built up into the new man. So what happens is what we're seeing is happening. Well, we got a bunch of crippled people. The problem is that spiritually they're crippled. Physically, they're fine. They walk around fine, run around. Some of them in the best shape you ever seen anybody physically. Some of them got, you know, they muscular build. Some of them built, you know, probably got low fat percentage. Some of them, you know, will pass any kind of health check. But spiritually, they're in ruins. Just like Abraham was in the wrong place. He looked like everything was good, but he was in AI. He was in the wrong direction. And if they conceived their insides, they would be shocked. They would be shocked and probably be seriously afraid. You understand, their inside, their spirit, they're crippled. And so this is what the same thing that was happening to Mary. And that's why even the man in Bethesda, remember, he needed to be healed. He said, I can never get there. I need somebody to help me. Notice, I need somebody to help. Once again, another one of these people. I need someone to help me. God is your helper. And that's what Jesus was showing the man. God's your helper. Oh, here you are. Get up. And when Jesus touched him, he showed him that connection between him and the Son and the Father. He showed him that you are connected with us. And you don't have to wait for that. It's right here. Get up. And when he did that, what you know is the man's legs work. Why? Because now the man's spine is working the way it's supposed to. Now the connection between God, the head and the body is operating. And the man say, oh, I can walk. You see? And so that's why that happens. And it goes also in the body. So we can also go into this in the body, into the blood. You can go into all this. It goes deep and goes far. It goes into the atmosphere. It goes into minerals. It goes into mathematics. It goes really deep. And that's why you need to let God take you deeper. But right now, this is what we're talking about. And this is why you have to see God as your helper. You don't need to run over here. You don't need to run over there. You don't need to have to do all those type things to realize that, hey, God is your helper. Sometimes people think God do something. He's doing this different with this person over here, so I don't have to grow up. That don't work that way. Now, to show you something here, let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, For I neither received it. He's talking about he received the word of God, gospel. So I neither, for he said, for I neither received it of man, okay, not of man, not it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, notice, Paul was not taught, not by the disciples, he wasn't taught by none of those guys. He wasn't taught by those churches and assemblies of churches. He wasn't taught by that. He was taught about the spirit that's in him. He understood. When he seen Jesus was inside him, when he fell off the horse into the dun, when he seen that light, he fell off the beast. He seen, and notice he fell off the beast, meaning the flesh. When he came off the flesh, he seen, oh my God. He seen Jesus. He noticed that he said, I didn't see Jesus. He noticed he didn't see Jesus in the flesh. He seen Jesus in him in the spirit. He seen that. He seen him in himself. And see, that's what we have to understand, that you have to understand that he's in you and you in him. A lot of times we building statues, we praising statues and people with the crosses, with the images on. See, that's the stuff Israel do. They want to make an image because it's on the outside. And that's why they kept creating idols, because they have to see something. You see, they have to, I need to create an idol. I need something I can see. Instead of understanding that God was in them. And this is why Jesus was having issues with them, because, and then disciples were having issues preaching the gospel to them, because they rather hold on to that image. They rather hold on to the image and that soulish morality they want to hold on to. And trying to do this, trying to be that, trying to boast in this, they're trying to hold on to it so bad that they never stop to see, hey, God's in me. I'm in him. And he wants to grow me up. The word of God was already in me. It was already in me. You see, and that's what Paul also is saying himself. He's trying to get you to see that. That, you notice, I didn't learn that way. Neither do man. He did not do that. But see, what happens a lot of times, and see, this is the thing when this kind of preaching go forth, when someone speak about this and this go forth, this is when a lot of ministers, a lot of these guys who are in position, like you see the Pharisees and the leaders of the synagogues, this is when these people come out. Because you know what? They need you to come there. Because the truth is, they was doing things the right way. They will let you know this. And then when you knew this, you won't need them. See, you won't clench on to them. You won't need them. You'll be the church, and you'll know you the church, and you'll build up, and God will build that temple up in you, and then you'll be moving along doing the same thing as someone else. So it will be really no need for you to be holding on to that place like that, that building like that. And it'd be no need for you to be doing that, and then you'd be thinking, what's the sense of me paying tithes? And then that's now it's the money, it's a business, and then this guy can't sit up here and talk about, look at all I have, because it's no one, who's there? Now, he can have people still coming in, that's coming in, we would say rookies, don't know anything. Maybe those people God would send to let them form and then get them out of there. Once they form, okay, now you need to go. It's like a cub, you know, it's like so we send a cheetah cub or something. They let them raise to a certain age and say, okay, good, now you need to go. You can't come here no more. You got to go. But the church is not like that. The church has become this overbearing Amorite mom. This overbearing mother who's holding on to the kids and she keep them on their breasts and saying, you can't drink nothing but milk. And she won't give them no meat. They can't get meat because they couldn't eat it anyway. And she's clenching on to them. She's holding on to them. And when it comes to the male, she has like masculinity. Say this, she just straight sodomized the males, destroyed them. The males have no organs, no fruitfulness. No, they can't reproduce. And that's why we see a lot of people in church spiritually, they can't produce anything. Because they're spiritual, they spiritual parts, the inner parts. For them to grow and to be fruitful, they're not using it. They're pretty much a virgin, spiritually a virgin. There's only two kinds of virgins you see in scripture. You see a virgin like you see with Mary, that they say never been with a man. But it's also a virgin. Notice there was also virgins that been with men and women, but they never been with God. See, there's two kinds of virgins. That's why you hear them say, well, this woman, like Mary, she never been with man. Why? Well, she never been with man. Why? Because she has been with God. So notice she's been with God, and God is what we would say impregnated her, that gave her the baby. Well, notice in the other way around, most people that's in the world, or most people that we see in religion in these churches, a lot of them, they're the same way. God is trying to, you would say, impregnate them or are getting, and I mean that by saying he's trying to get that seed to grow in them. And they're saying, I don't want nothing to do with you. That's why God speaks all the time in the Old Testament, from Ezekiel to Isaiah. He speaks of Israel. Notice Israel is one of these people, you know, one of these that give them trouble with that. They don't want nothing to do with them like that. Israel, that's why a lot of times he was saying, you like a wife that give your love to everybody else, but not your own husband. See, he cannot plant a seed in her because she rejected him. But then she'll go into the world and let the world plant seeds, let people speak stuff, plant seeds in her all day. She'll lay down with them. She'll let every man and everything else lay down with her. But when it comes to him, she rejects the spiritual seed. I don't want it. I don't want to take it. So it's two kind of. So notice she become a virgin to God because she rejected him. She don't want to lay with him. But with everyone else, she lay with. And the same thing when it comes to that. With Mary, where she will not lay with anything of a man. She won't take any kind of man gospel. She won't take anything that God won't approve. The Spirit don't approve it. Analyze it. Don't approve it. I don't want it. She don't want it that way. So, I mean, that's what you see all through Scripture. You'll go through, you'll see the different versions. It was two versions. It was this version. I mean, a lot of times that's really what that is. But investigate it anyway. But a lot of times that's really what it is. That's really what it is. And that's why I said, you know, we have to get to that mind state. Now, we went into Lazarus, and now we know what Lazarus means. Jesus solved that problem. He brought back Lazarus, meaning her, God helper. So now Martha understand that. Do Martha need Mary? No. Do Martha need Jesus to physically be there, like physically in the flesh? No. She knows he's in her. She understands that revelation. And now God as a helper has returned. It's the same story. Like, for instance, you got the same story they have in Luke chapter 16. And Luke chapter 16, you know, Luke chapter 16, verse 18, talks about the rich man. Now, notice that's Lazarus again. Notice how the rich man don't need God to be his help. And a lot of time we look at rich just being about people that's like really got money and this, and you know, got money and all these things of this nature. So we kind of just cut that off and we look at the representation of when we see people that's rich, because that's just a representation of what's spiritually happening. But it's not just all that. It means abundantly more. See, if a person abundantly more or exceedingly more, like wealthy, that's what that means. And there's people that's, like I said, they like that in lust, pride. They like that in all kind of things. So it's people right now who's rich, and you know, they're rich in their own self. They're rich in their desires. Like, I got so many different desires that I want to explore. I'm rich. I got abundantly more than I need to. Many things I have, but yet I only need one desire, the one desire God has. But you know, it's like, no, I got many. So I'm rich in these desires. I'm rich in these thoughts that I have, these dreams I want to fulfill, these desires I want to have. I want to, you know, explore. And it says, you know what? It's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. Why? Because he have to have that one desire. He got many desires. He got many thoughts. He got many ways that he wants to get these things. And you know what? That's what that means. It don't always just mean a man got a lot of money. So when you see that, that's why it's hard for a person like that. So here's this rich man. Notice he's just letting a new man just sit on the ground. He's not even feeding a new man. Like, you know, he's not feeding a new man anything. He taking what he want to eat. Meaning he getting what he want to get. And we see that all the time. People take what they want to take. They don't worry about the new man. The new man is equipped. They don't want to bring him out. He eating everything. He's complete. He's eating everything. What they're trying to do is only eat what they want to eat. I don't want to take this revelation. I don't want to take this. I don't want to take that. Don't get a new man. He don't get the scraps. You get the scraps to the dogs. You get the scraps to the dogs. And notice that Lazarus sit there outside. Notice he outside your gate. He's just sitting there out there. You don't let him eat anything. He can't get in. You got him in cage. So notice the situation of the parable that Yeshua, what Jesus told him. But look at the parable he told him. Now notice it was in reverse now. Now in the spirit realm, the guy dies. Now he's in the spirit realm. Now he dies. He finds himself, man, I'm in hell. Now he's in the spot he had a new man in. Now he's in hell. And notice it was, he was in hell And there was a divider there, just like he had that gate divide. He had that thing. He put a divider between him and Lazarus. Now he has that. And then notice that Lazarus, which is the same as we were talking about earlier, Eleazar, which means God helper, Lazarus is on who? Abraham's bosom. And notice that Eleazar, which is Lazarus, notice Abraham said when he sent him out to get Rebekah for Isaac, he trusted him over his whole house. So notice he had to learn that, but he said, I trust him over my whole house. So now he understands God is my helper. Now he's in Abraham's bosom. And then Abraham tell the rich man, hey, he couldn't bring you nothing if he wanted to. He couldn't do nothing for you if he wanted to. But the rich man, oh no, God, my helper, come save me now. In his situation, it was too late. And even then, the rich man still was trying to figure out a way, how can he get back here? How can he start telling people still without God being his helper? Still trying to figure out a way. And so what we find is that's what happens a lot of times. You're leaving a new man, and that's just in reverse. While you walking around here living your life, you have the new man encaged. He can't come out. You have him encaged. You have God as your helper. He's in there asleep. He can't do anything. You put him to sleep. He's in a deep sleep in you. He's not doing anything because you're not letting him out the tomb. And then you run into these churches. God, help me on the outside. Get somebody else to help me when he's sitting in you. And instead of these people telling you the truth, by like I said, when you're a parasite, people take advantage of you. So instead of this pastor telling you the truth, oh, make an offering. Come in here. Sister, let me tell you this. And they keep on pelling you with this foolishness. They keep on letting you keep coming back with this foolishness. Because why? That means you're gonna pay the tithes, you're gonna pay the building fund, you're gonna pay the fees. You're gonna take that little covenant that they made, and when they get in their church to stay in the church, you're gonna be a part of that. So you can keep running back. So they're gonna keep welcoming you back instead of telling you the truth. You don't need to come back here. You don't need to come back here. You need to go up. You need to go up to Jerusalem. See, don't come here, but they're not telling you that. They don't, because you know why? That's like the doctors nowadays. The doctors don't say, I'm not going to tell them not to do it. Why? Because if you keep coming back, that's money I keep making. So you sick, you keep coming back here, or I know some stuff I can tell you that could have took care of it, but you know what? Just try this, and if it doesn't work, come back. So you constantly coming back, they're going to keep making money. And it's the same thing. You see, if they was true, they would tell you, hey, listen, don't come back here. Don't come back here. But see, they're dealing with this Amorite spirit. They want to hold on to people and be praised. These adulterous leaders who know better than Reuben, who want to take his father a bride or take his father concubine soon when the father's not home. Soon to say, let me take my father, bride, let me take the church and let it worship me. It's my church. These are my people. And I'm going to hold on to them. That's why the people in the synagogue were so mad at Jesus when Jesus said, hey, this woman was bound here for 18 years and you don't care. And the leader of the synagogue, which that would be a pastor, reverend, bishop, Pope, these type of individuals, they didn't care. No, you don't do it on the Sabbath. They're still trying to follow rules. They're still trying to follow rules that they look at the surface of the rule. And then understand, this woman is crippled. She had no connection with God. I just gave her that. Now she where she need to be. But he's mad because the woman don't need him anymore. See, the woman's not crippled. She got the connection with God. She don't need him anymore. And that's what they're mad about, because when other people see what happened to her, they're going to say, hey, fix me. And if they get fixed, he out of business. And that's why they wanted to get rid of Jesus, because that's what he was doing. That's why he said, this is my father's house. This is a temple. This is for prayer. This ain't for businesses. This ain't no business that's going on here. Butcher shops. And the reason why I say butcher shops, because then they're breaking the neck of people and chopping their heads off. Because they cutting off the connection from the spinal cord to the skull. You know what happened when you cut off the connection of that? Then the head can't get to the body. So that person pretty much the same thing that centurion guy was, paraplegic. And this is why Jesus was healing these crippled people, getting a connection back to God. God is your helper. And so this is the true gospel that need to be preached. You see, and that's the problem with people, is that they got to stop. They got to get off this mother breast that they sucking on. They got to leave that mother and that father and come to God. Like God told Abraham, leave your father house. You got to leave this, because if you don't leave this, you can find yourself in trouble. You can find yourself in trouble. And I'm going to show you that. And we're going to go into Exodus chapter 4. Because we need to understand what kind of things can happen. We need to talk a little bit about Moses, and we have enough time, we can go into Adam, because all of them did this. Because like I said, we're looking for what? The error to correction. That's what Scripture is also about. Error to correction, right? So notice, error to correction. So what we're doing, that's the fundamental. So what we're doing is we're looking at not the greatest things that Moses did, and the greatest thing Abram did. We're looking at what they did do that was terrible and what they didn't do. Why? Because we have to see, how was they doing it? Why was they doing it? What was going on here? So therefore, maybe I'm doing the same thing. Maybe I know now not to do that. Because if I don't know, see, how do I know if no one told me? Because it's about opening up your consciousness to this. Now, we go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Now it says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. It says that the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth? And then there's a question mark. Remember that question mark. Asking a question. Who make them deaf or mute? Question mark. Who give them sight or make them blind? Question mark again. He's not making statements, asking questions. Is it not I, the Lord? Question mark. Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Notice, I will be your helper. I will help you how to speak, and I will teach you, be your teacher. Not, I need to find some man somewhere to come teach you. I will be. It says, but Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Notice he said, send someone else. Now, notice, we look at that one way. We look at, send another person to go do this. No, think about it this way. No, Lord, send someone else, because you are talking to me inside of me. You're talking to me in the spirit. I'm uncomfortable with that. So send someone else. See, send someone outside to come talk to me. And then notice what happened. It says, because he asking for God to send somebody outside. He ain't saying just send somebody else in my place. That's not why God was mad. He's saying that God to send somebody else to tell me this, physically tell me this, show you what I mean. It says, notice it said, then the Lord was angered by this. His anger burned. And watch what God say after this. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. See, I can send him to speak. I know he can speak well. Then he said, he is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. And I will help both of you speak, and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your prophet and as if you were God to him. So this is the NIV translation here, but we also got the King James translation as well. which I usually deal more. I deal a little bit more in the King James than I do in the NIV. But I'm reading NIV here to let it be a little bit more clear English, a little bit more clear English for people. But I advise you, you know, if you, I mean, you know, use whatever God leads you to, you know, translation leads you to. But it's going to be, it's going to come out the same meaning. Now, notice God said to him, see, notice he didn't want to do that. So he said, okay, well, you got Aaron, then I'm going to put Aaron in his place. So automatically we think, well, that's what God was saying, that I'm going to, you know, notice I'm going to let Aaron go and take pretty much do this for you. No, actually, notice what God also told him this, and this is what's scary, and this is the scary part about it. And we have to understand this because this is when Aaron come about. Notice this is, this is how Aaron exists. See, Aaron exists because when we choose to reject God, all of a sudden Aaron comes along. So all of a sudden we get this voice comes along that sounds similar to God, and it agrees with what we want. It agrees with what we want. Notice this is not what God wanted. He didn't want Aaron to be his helper, but Moses didn't want God to be. So what he said, well, I sent Aaron. Then this is interesting. Notice how God said he will be like your and some translations say your mouth. He will be like your mouth or your prophet. Now, what prophet usually do, prophet give, you know, a lot of times prophet put people in positioning. They supposed to be seeing in the spirit. They give people direction, like, hey, this is this direction. This is that. This is what's happening in the spirit, such, you know, such and such. So it's people that went to prophets because they want to find out, you know, prophecies. They want to find out what was God finna do, what was the best direction for their lives. Well, notice how Aaron is finna be that for you. And you're going to be God to him. Why? Because Moses being God to him, because Moses is going to dictate what Aaron does. Because whatever God, whatever God tell Moses to do, if he don't want to do, Aaron's going to agree with Moses. Because that's the whole thing. Notice that Moses don't want to do this. He don't want God to be his helper. So what happens? Now Aaron comes, and Aaron's going to agree exactly with what Moses wants. That's why God's you're going to be a God to him. So that's not always in a positive note. It's also in a negative sense. In a negative sense that, hey, you know what? Because you're going to command him what to do. And that's what we see a lot of times, even in the church. Paul even said that they're going to be trying to find what? In the last days, they're going to be trying to find what? Teachers, doctrines. Notice they're trying to be God, and they're trying to get people to be their prophets for them. Hey, you tell, well, you speak what I want to hear. And he's going to do exactly what you say. You're going to be God commanding him. And they're going to tell you what you want to hear. That's exactly what's going to go on. That's exactly what's going to go on with Aaron. And let's go a little further in that. Because notice, Aaron is his helper, right? But notice God wanted to be. He rejected God. So what happens? You know, we got to see what happens to Moses by doing this. And let's go into, let's go look at some credentials of Aaron. So let's go to Exodus 32. Because we need to check out a couple of credentials about Aaron. Let's find out a little bit, because, you know, Aaron's name also means the light bringer. And that's what Paul tells you, that Satan, notice he's an angel of light. Angel also means a messenger. See, a messenger of light or enlightenment. Well, that's what Aaron was doing. Aaron, if you was down and you didn't want to do something, Aaron happened. Whatever you gave Aaron, Aaron created an idol. So if I gave Aaron, I don't want to do this, Aaron, at 2 o'clock, and God say do it at 2. I want to do it at 4. All of a sudden, God say, oh, forget 2. You can do it at 4. It'd be best. And then Satan was meant for me to do it at 4. And Aaron give you a pat on the back and say, that's what God wants you to do. You did. You did what he wanted you to do. See, that's that voice that make people think it's okay. It's all right. That's why they can sit back and not do what God say all this time. And they cannot build up. And they can just live their life and think it's okay. I don't hear people say this all the time. Like, oh, God know my heart. See, that's that Aaron. You see, God knows my heart. He knows I do anything, but yet you're not. He asks you to do anything. He, you know, all these things and stuff. He asks you to just obey and let him build the temple. But, you know, oh, he understands my situation. I got this. I got all these other problems. Well, you sound like a parasite now. Okay. I got this problem. I got that problem. I can't walk. You know, my back is this. I got 3 kids. I got nobody to watch them. You got all these excuses. Like Moses, I can't do this. I can't do that. Ain't God your helper? So what happens? Aaron becomes your helper, and you tell yourself that lie that God understands. And he doesn't. That's the lie Aaron telling you. Aaron telling you that. The spirit of Aaron telling you, it's okay. It's fine. You don't have to go up the mountain. You don't have to let the God build in you. You don't have to pick up your cross. No. You don't have to pick up your cross. You're fine. Jesus did it all. You ain't got to pick up your cross. You don't have to grow up. It's okay. And Paul say, you know, he died daily. Well, how he died daily? He ain't crucifying himself. So he crucified with Christ. Okay. That's not a one-time thing. That's a daily thing. So how is it this? How are you going to escape not doing it? You know, how are you not going to grow? Paul said, growing a new man every day, daily, growing a new man who's in the what? The image of the Father. Okay, so how are you not going to grow in a new man? How is all this is getting bypassed? How? But because Aaron is telling you it's okay. Well, if he's, it's not just in your mind and in you, but also that Aaron's in the church building who act like everything's all right. Let's just keep on singing some songs. Let's keep this going. And the glory of God will not be shown in these people. There's not, because Aaron is going to try to give you morality. He's going to make you believe you need to live this godly life that you created. And you've been a dirty little king, you know, who thinking, I want to do it my way. You've been deceived by, I got to just live this good life. And then you're trying to feed, then notice, you're trying to feed your soul morality, because the soul need morality. So you're trying to feed yourself, oh, don't do this, oh, don't do that. That's not good. That don't feel right. This feel better. So you're trying to feed your soul this morality, and your soul going to keep making rules, hard rules, because that's what it does. It needs morality. And you're just going to try to live that life instead of giving up the soul. You're not going to give the soul. You're going to empower the soul, and then you're going to become self-righteous, and all that's going to happen is you're going to be rotten. Then you'll be running around boasting that I'm better than the next person, because you're going to say, even though I'm bad, I ain't worse than this guy. So you're boasting. And then you get into all that because that's what you'll do, because you're not growing the right way. So let's go see some Aaron credentials. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 32. Look at his credentials. And it says, when the people saw Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Notice they gathered around Aaron. See, when Moses ain't coming, they said, let's go around Aaron. They gathered around Aaron. Come, make us gods. Who will go before us? Notice who would give direction. Who would give the direction? They went to who? Aaron. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and they brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him. Notice this. He took what they handed him. See, what they gave to him. What they gave to him, he took. And watch what happened after he take it. And he made it into an idol. Cast in the shape of a calf. Fashion it with the tool. Then they said, these are the gods of Israel who brought you up out of Egypt. Now notice what they gave him. See what you give him. I don't want to do that. So all of a sudden, oh, you can, it's okay. Oh, I do this, and that's not what God intended you to do. It's okay. Yeah, do that. See, Aaron is allowing you to do this. But then he's telling you, but then as he allows you to do this, he starts giving you morality. He starts telling you, you need to be a better person. You need to give more. You know, you need to do more charity work. You see, yeah, you fine. Other than that, no, you know, don't grow in a new man. Keep him down. But listen, no, I ain't gonna bring that up. But you need to give to charity. You know, you need to stop being so selfish. You need to give back to the community. But the new man, you leaving like the rich man doing. You leaving him on the table outside the gate, and you have no conscience of care. You feel bad about a homeless man on the street, but you don't feel bad about the new man being inside you in a tomb, trapped, and you keeping him there. And you have no conscience of, or no feeling, notice no soulless feeling or nothing. No sense of guilt. No, I got to get him out of here. I can't let him stay in there. It's like, it's nothing. But you're looking at the physical. And you say, oh, I feel so bad. We see the kids on TV. They don't have nothing to eat with flies on them. Oh, you know what? That is so sad. because that is sad to the soul. The soul can't take it. It's suffering. They don't like it. We got to do something about it. Send some money. Why? So I can make myself feel good. Not just to help the kid, but also it makes me feel like I did something. But the new man is in there in the tomb, wrapped up. The God is your helper in the tomb, wrapped up. And you don't even care. He's in there just, you know, dying. And I mean dying by saying he's in there asleep. And you need to be waking him up. And you're not. And you have no conscience. You care less. You know, and that's what happened to these people. They care less about the new man. See, notice this is not happening in the time. We have no patience. We ran out. Now we want to do this. And Aaron say, okay, well, give me. And this is the thing about the earrings. The reason they had the earrings is because God had gave them the earrings. And he told them that the earrings were about making an oath, meaning that you made an oath with God, a covenant with God. Well, notice how they took that out. They took the oath out. And they gave it away. See, and it's the same thing with Moses. Moses didn't make an oath to God when he said, notice he made it to Aaron. Aaron coming. So he's dealing with Aaron. And guess what? That's what he thought. Aaron's my helper, not God. Well, look what kind of helper Aaron is, as you see. People come to him and say, listen, I don't want to do this. I'm going to hand you this. And he say, sure, whatever. No problem. I'll do it. No problem. Now, we know that, of course, you go further in the story, which we got to move on a little bit more for the time. But you go further in the story, you notice how when Aaron built this calf, notice how the Lord said in verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Moses, go down because your people, no, he said your people. Notice how now this switches, because now God is saying your people, not mine. A lot of, you know, it's your people, because these, you know, it's your people that you brought up out of Egypt, not mine, have become corrupted. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol. Cast in the shape of a cow, they have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are the gods of Israel who brought you up out of Egypt. Now, notice when this happened, what did Aaron do? And then Aaron's reply was, hey, do you know these people are, you know, these people are crazy? Those people are crazy. You know, these people, they throw it off. You know, something wrong with them. So they asked me to do it. I did it. It's like, why would you do that? Don't you know you're going to bring destruction on them? So? It saved my life. They was going to stone me, so it saved me. And that's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. You give life to Aaron, and you must take it from Aaron. Okay, let's go to the 33 verse. It says, I just want to hear you, let you see this one more time. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt. That's the second time. I mean, it's another time he said this to him. And God said, go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. And then that's when God said, I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites. And he was telling the Canaanites and Amorites. Now, you see the problem that is going on here. Notice how Aaron really didn't care about their survival. They all, notice people was dying. They had, you know, Moses and them was slaying people. People was killing their own brother, sister, mother. That was all going on. Aaron was okay. Notice, why is Aaron still alive? Because Moses kept him alive. Therefore, he stayed alive. That's why he stayed alive. He stayed alive because Moses kept him alive. That's why he literally stayed alive. There's a scripture in Jeremiah speaks of, I think in Jeremiah and Psalms too, it speaks of, don't trust your brother. It tells you, say, listen, don't trust your brother. And you say, well, why it says that? Because it's saying Aaron. Speaking of Aaron, and speaking about Aaron, that's what it's talking about when it's talking about this. Speaking of Aaron, let's go to Numbers chapter 20, because we want to know, is this the will of God? Was this the will of God that let Aaron do this. This is who what God really wanted. Okay, so let's go to Numbers chapter 20, verse 25. Let's find out just the will of God. Now God is saying, get Aaron and his son Eleazar. Oh, Eleazar. Remember Eleazar? That's God is my helper. God helps. God is my helper. Notice how God say, take Aaron and his son Eleazar, I mean God is my helper, and take them up to the Mount Hor. Remove Aaron's garment. Now notice he's telling Moses this because why? God can't remove it. And it's not because you hear these preachers talking about, well, he was God anointing him, so he can't. No. That's foolishness. That has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is the fact that Moses anointed him. See, Moses the one feeding him. Moses the one put the robe on him and say, you my helper. That's the same thing with Mary. She put the robe on, Martha, she put the robe on Mary. And she say, Mary is my, I need Mary. And Jesus say, no, you don't need Mary. She put the robe even on Jesus to say, Jesus, I need you. I need the physical Jesus. I can't do nothing. And Jesus letting her know, no. And he brought Lazarus back, brought her helper back. This is your helper. Okay? See, that's what people have to understand. Now, because he put the robe on, he's saying, hey, this is the guy. So he got to take it off. You brought him to life, and you got to get rid of him. If you want, notice, God to be your helper. Now, you have two guys standing here. You have Aaron, okay? You got him, and you got God as my helper, which was God said in the beginning. You can be my helper. I'm going to be your helper. I can help you. Nope. Then Aaron comes. Well, here's the same choice now. Here's Aaron on the mountain. Here's God as my helper on the mountain. Who's going to come down? Whoever come down, whoever survive, is going to be what God originally wanted. So what happens? It says, remove Aaron's garment and put them on his son. See, notice. See, take off your belief. Take off all those things that you was giving away to Aaron. And now give that to God as your helper. Give that to him. Give that focus to God. Give that all to God. Now let God be your helper. Robe him. Not man. Not Aaron. Now, he said, remove the garment and put them on, of course, on Eleazar, and Aaron will be gathered to his people. Notice God didn't say my people, be gathered to his people, and he will die there. And some may say, may his fathers. Notice it's his fathers, not God, his fathers. Moses did as the Lord commanded. They went up to Mount Hor, and the sight of the whole congregation, Moses removed Aaron's garment and put them on Eleazar, and Aaron died there on top of the mountain, and said, then Moses and Eleazar came down. I mean, God helper. Moses came down with God as my helper, and he got rid of Aaron. But by that time, like we said, Aaron helped get him kicked out of the kingdom. And when the whole congregation learned that Aaron had died, all the Israelites mourned for him 30 days. 30 days, like 30 pieces of silver for the real devil. But notice how they all mourn for him. Now, that's what's so interesting. Now, notice after that happened, what did the children of Israel do after Aaron just happened to die? Because Aaron was a pleaser. See, he's a pleaser spirit that's dealing with the Canaanite. Well, right after this happened, it says, when the Canaanite king, and it goes to the Canaanite king, and they destroyed and fought against the Canaanite king, and it goes into stuff what's happening with the Canaanite. Interesting stuff. When we, and like I said, the further we can go, I'm not even meaning to go into this, but I wanted to go into this so bad with you, but I'm not. I can't go into this. But so notice how Aaron should have never been his helper. God wanted to be his helper. Okay, now let's go back to Exodus 32 with the calf. So go back to Exodus 32. And let's go to verse 9. And verse 9 says, I have seen these people, these, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger will burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. So now God has given him another covenant. And this is why if the, Paul was talking about the first covenant was so great, then why would he mention the second covenant? Notice, I'll give you this covenant. Why? Because the covenant they're under, like I told you, the covenant they're under is obsolete. Because it's going to bring on, the, you can't get in the land in that covenant. That's why they can't get into the land. They can't get into the land because they're not worthy to get into the land. And they will never get into the land. You see, and that's the problem. You can't, God cannot put them into the land. He can't drag them in there. Moses thought, oh God, you can just, like, you know, you have to do, you can drag them into. And God can't do that because they, because these people represent old tendencies, old thoughts, old desires. These people are still harboring stuff from Egypt. These Egypt thoughts, walking Egypt desires, walking hard-headedness, they refuse. He cannot drag them in there. He can't pull them in there. Because they are not going to be able to get into the kingdom. They won't follow the rule to get into the kingdom. They can't. And so this here now it changes. And we're changing because now it goes into the thoughts, the mind, the patterns of the thoughts that you have, the things that goes on. Moses is having trouble because notice how every time God is telling him, notice God is trying to tell him, hey, let these people go. Let me destroy them all. Now, that's the same thing God is telling you. When you come in, same as you are. Okay, you came as you are. Moses came as he is. Okay, now all this baggage you have, all these people, all this baggage you have that's holding you down, they're not going to get in the land, and they're trying to keep you from getting in the land. Okay, that's thoughts, desires, ways, upbringing, habits, all these things are keeping you out the land with God. They don't want to let you get in. So God is saying, let me destroy those things. That religious spirit you stuck in, let me destroy it. That church that you're going to that's encaptured you and crippled you, let me destroy it. Let me get rid of all that out your system, all that out your consciousness, and let me bring a new into you. Well, Moses is saying, no, Lord, I want to bring that with me. I want to bring the old man with me. You promise. God, like, I didn't promise to bring this with me. Not these. No, notice these are the people you brought, not me. You brought. See, those people are the desires, the thoughts, the ways that Moses still had in himself. He's trying to bring that into the kingdom, and it's not going to work. It's not going to fit. It's not going to work. Notice that you have to give it all up. Moses is holding on to these people. He's holding on to these things. So he can't come into the new covenant because, why? He can't hold on. He keep holding on. So what happened? Moses didn't get into the land. Moses even said that it was because of y'all, I couldn't get into the land. He understood. He found out, but it was too late. But he found out, hey, it was because of y'all. Y'all kept me from getting into the land. I can see the land, but I can't get into it. And that's why we say with the parasite people. See, or with these people who holding on, with these certain individuals who's holding on to their ways, to the way they did something, to the way grandma taught me, to the way the religious churches taught me. I keep holding on. You know, sometimes those people may be able to see when somebody's anointed. Like, I mean, I can see this guy seem like he's, I can see God is working something special in him. They can see it, but they can't enter into it. Like, why? I can't do it. See, they can't never see themselves doing it. That's why they can see it, but they can't get into it. That's why they're doing miracles left and right, but they can't operate in it. They can't get into the land. They can't get into the kingdom. Not by trying to do what, not trying to bring in old stuff, not trying to be the old man. That's not going to work. Moses was too rich. He was too rich to get in. He had too much baggage. And God tried to say, hey, let me get rid of it. But he refused to let it go. The same way in Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife refused to, she turned around. She, you know, I'm going back to the baggage. And that's what happened to him. That's the same thing with Moses. Oh, no, no, I can, you know. Same thing with people. Oh, they good people, you know, even though I know this. They're good people, though. God, you got to help them. And he's saying, no, these people are not getting in. And the only thing they can do is not let you in. So what is it going to be? You're going to come, you're going to get in, or you're going to worry about them? because they're not never going to get in. That's like Jesus. Jesus healed that blind man and told him, don't you ever go back. Don't never go back to that village. Don't ever go back to that town, because that town is what made you blind. Don't ever go back there. But they got some good people that, I don't, listen, don't ever go back there. Never. There's the people right now that they done left out of these church buildings. They left out these religions. And they left out these religions, some of these church buildings. They left away from this stuff. And yet they went right back. And they knew they was doing the right thing when they left in the first place. But they went right, they ended up going back. You know what? I feel sad. So, you know, my desires are this. I feel sad. I feel this. Maybe I should have did this this way, that way, whatever. They went straight back. So, you know, if you go to Jeremiah, say Jeremiah 31:31, it talks about how God is saying how he made his covenant. He made a new covenant. Say, behold, the days come, said the Lord of God, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers who didn't get in, and the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was an husband unto them, said, but they shall be the covenant. This should be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws, and laws also mean teaching. Law in their inward parts, meaning inside of them, and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man. See, not every man teaching you, no more his neighbor and every man his brother, like Aaron, his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. The Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. So notice how God is trying to get the connection with you so he can grow you up. So he can grow you up. Not so someone else can. That's not the way it works. That's not what his true intentions are. So now we have to understand, what is the will of God? You know, see, notice how Moses thought that was acceptable, seeing the backside of God, which we've seen Abraham seeing the backside, messing around Shechem, down in Shechem. We've seen him seeing the back, the shoulder. That's what Shechem means anyway. Notice he's seen the back, the shoulder. He's seen the backside. And what did it do? It put him in the wrong direction. They put him in a corner mine, put him in the west, corner mine. Well, we see the same thing happening here. That's what had happened to him. Now I will ask you to go and pray about this message and let God take you further and deeper into this, because there's more stuff in here than just that and then what I talked about. And so you can see the different levels of how far this goes. See, people like to just look at the notice. He's telling you, hey, it's correction. So you see what they're doing. Oh, that's working. Oh, he's conquered. Oh, yeah, you see the correction. But you also see the error to correction. And so, therefore, the scripture now is showing you that. No, now we're talking about the error. That's the level of you seeing the errors of what they did. See, there's different levels to this. People just want to see the good part. Oh, he conquered this. Oh, he did that. But you have to look at, okay, what is the role? I mean, what's going on here? That's like Abram. When you see Abram in this, and then you see Abraham, there's some stuff going on here. You see, you know, so we have to ask ourselves, why? Why may we not have been taught this? And like I said, if you're waiting around for them to teach you, you know, and like I said, you're waiting around for them. It's like the Pharisees. You're waiting around, a lady waiting around for 18 years, and she crippled. That miracle wasn't coming unless Jesus had to make it happen. You can go to Psalms. Another scripture I give you, Psalms 118:8, talks about what happened when you put trust in the man in God. So all these scriptures that we can go into. And we know the same thing goes back into, Adam. Like we said before, in Genesis 1, you see it talks about the first man, the asexual, the first man who had male and female was all in him. The second man wanted the female to come out of him. See, the second man wanted that soul desire to come out of himself. That's why people think Adam is the only one doing this. No, they're doing it too. Because what it's saying is, notice that you are one unit with God, but yet you having desires. So you want that desire to do what? Come. Notice how Jesus said, what do adultery, fornication, that comes from outside of a man. So those, inside of a man, not outside, inside of a man. They don't come from the outside. So notice that those desires come outside of a man, and then they manifest on earth. They manifest in this reality, in this physical form. That's what we do. It comes out of a person, and then they make it this happen. That's why this world is what it is. The world is also what it is. There's a lot of things man manifesting, and they're creating. I have this idea. Now, all of a sudden, everybody has to be, subjected to it. And especially if something that's not right, and everybody's suffering, they have to be stuck with this because he created this, and then somebody else created this. And it's the whole cause of effect thing when you're looking at what so many people are doing these things and causing these things, so many thoughts and ideals and ways are going forth that everybody is suffering from this. This is his idea. Oh, this is. Oh, this is that. This is his opinion. Everybody's suffering from it. So that's what you have, in that. So Adam wanted that desire to come out of himself. So what happened? Notice that. And we go to Genesis. It's talking about, we know when God was bringing the animals to Adam. Notice what, and God brought the animals to Adam, okay? And God was saying, I gave you dominion over the animals. He bringing the animals to you, right? Notice Adam named the animals. He named them. He gave them names. He started giving them names. Then he said, you know what? They're not worthy to me. They're not a helpmate. Notice, they're not a helpmate. Okay. Then God ended up putting them into a deep sleep, it says. Then all of a sudden, out come Eve. Now, what did Eve just pop out now? No, she was already in there trying to get out. That's the desire in him that say, this is not good enough. Now, notice, who was it? God was his helper. But he rejected God and said, I have not found a helpmate. The first man, when you look at when God created male and female, who was their helper? God was their helper. When it goes into Adam, notice he got a name. And this is where we go into the unnamed and unnamed. Notice the unnamed, they had no name. Why Jesus said, I take the name of my father. I come my father name. Unnamed. That's why Paul said, I'm going to preach to you the unnamed God. Because when there's no name, there's no boundaries. There's no titlement. See, what happened to people, what man does, no sooner Adam did, he started, what, putting titles on animals. He started naming them. This is a lion, and a lion's supposed to do this, this, and that. So that's what man do. They start putting names on things. And when they started putting names on things, they start to fit the criteria of the name. You see, and that's why you see with people all the time, well, I'm a mother. I ain't got no choice. God understand my soul. I'm a mother. I have to do this, this, and that. Why? Because I'm a mother. So notice how that name of a mother becomes, I have to fit this criteria, what I believe it should be. And it's like, well, why are you not being no name and being what God is telling you to be to the new man and to your own children? But it's like, no, I'm fitting what I believe a mother should be. I'm trying to fit the criteria, what everyone says a mother's supposed to be this. A mother, see, notice how the names, it's what separates people from God. That's like Moses. And I use the example. Notice how Moses, when God came to, when God brought Moses and when Moses had seen him in the burning bush, notice when Moses' name was Moses. And you notice how, what was he doing? He was going around. He was married to a Midianite. He was taking her, the father's sheep back and forth through the wilderness. He was going to the backside of the wilderness, back and forth. And he went to, they say he went to the mountain of God, but notice through the backside. So what ended up happening to that name? Moses fit the criteria. What did he do? He ended up taking the children of Israel back and forth through the wilderness, and they seen the backside of God, and they didn't get into the front. They didn't get into the heaven. They didn't get into the kingdom. That name that he did in the beginning, what it was, ended up being the same thing. He never changed. He should have took that name off. That's why, notice why Jesus was changing names. Take that name off you. Why? Because Simon is going to fail. The devil is going to sift you as wheat. You're going to be destroyed. So I'm giving you Peter. Peter will prevail. You're going to be a rock, Peter. You're going to be solid. You won't be moved, Peter. But if I let you stay Simon, you ain't going to make it. If I let you stay Saul, you're going to be destroyed. You see what Saul was doing? He's going to get destroyed. But if you Paul, oh no, Paul, you're going to make it. See, now you have elevated. You're going to make it. You're going to endure. You're going to be able to suffer, but suffer and endure and go through. But Saul won't make it. Saul won't make it through that. He'll be destroyed. That's why he was changing names. That's why God changed name. Abram, no more Abram. Be Abraham. That means something. Why? Because Abram was in all kind of trouble. Abram was all over the place. Abram was not going to make it in the land. He's going to go in and out. He's not going to make it. Got to change this. A new start. A new covenant. A new beginning. A new man. It has to happen. So we're going to have to grow up. That's the whole point. Like I said, when you have these people want to keep on with these names, you know, and they want to do this and do this and do that. And like I said before, notice that the unnamed person, the person with no name, they just walking in oneness with the God. They asexual, mean whatever God name is their name. Whatever God conquer, they're conquer. Whatever God do, they're do. That's why Jesus said, what the Father do, I do. Asexual. If anybody know anything about asexual, you know that asexual creatures, usually the original copy, if it can't be some, say if it's a disease come, if the original copy can't beat that disease, all of them will die because none of them will be able to change to beat it. They all will die. Okay? But the sexual beings, the sexual creatures can be, they can actually adjust and adapt because they have what you call individuality. And that's what you have, individuality. He's some like his mom. He's some like his dad. Genes from his mom, genes from his dad. He's not the same as the father. He have different genes, so therefore he can adapt. And see, that's the difference, the male and the female in the beginning. They was one. They wasn't separated. They wasn't individual. They even have names. They was the same. And then Adam wasn't here. Well, here's Adam. That's his name. That's Eve. She's the mother of all living. Here's Adam. He's man. They individuals now. And individuality, that was not going to work in the kingdom. So what happened to them being different individuals in the sense of what they was? They weren't on one accord. But that's why Jesus speaks as an asexual. That's why Jesus told the disciples, fear not, because I have conquered the world. Meaning that the disease of the world, he's saying, I'm the original copy. And I am the prototype. I'm the copy. And notice what he's saying. You're going to come back. You're going to be just as me. But I have conquered the world. So when you are me, it's okay that you're me. It's okay that you're me. Because if you got my DNA in a sense, I already conquered this. Same as a starfish, you know. That's why they have 5 points, okay, that helps them. Notice that a piece of the starfish come off and it creates a new one. That's why Jesus said, eat my flesh. You eat my flesh, you become me. It's like the starfish. Okay. Now, what happens when you become just as him? Like he said, I have conquered, you have conquered. The Father's in me, I'm in the Father, same as you. And that's the way he wants us to operate. That's the way he wants us to work. But like I said, we must understand that God is our helper. And we got to understand that we got to be careful when we say these things that can get us in trouble. When God has wanted us to do something, make sure we're hearing the clear will of what God is wanting and not rejecting things. Because as we see, it's when you reject stuff, we see things can happen when you reject things. So when you reject something, we've seen that, oh man, some bad stuff can happen. All of a sudden we can hear what we want to hear. And then we can have problems. Then we can sit up there and be giving life to Aaron. And Aaron will run around there with us all over the place. So this has been a great teaching. Hopefully this teaching blessed a lot of people. I just like to say for all the people that comes out and listen, you know, this message for you and understanding that God is trying to grow more and more. He is growing, not trying. He is growing more and more in you. And that temple is being built. And you're going to be able to go out and God's going to have this outpouring going out on you to pour out to others that need to understand the same connection. They need to get their necks fixed. They need to get their legs put in order. They need to make sure that spine is working. So therefore, they can get communication going on with God. But this is, and we're going to end. This is Courtney Jones. Blessing and peace be to all of you. And I'm out.